Take your Bible, turn to the book of Hosea. We'll begin in the book of Hosea. And you want to stand? I'm going to let you stand stretching, man. I tell you what, Daniel, if you turn to Daniel, go to right, you'll come to Hosea. But I just want to take, and the Lord really burdened my heart for this. And I preach along these lines, but I want to touch on it. And amen. All right. So the book of Hosea, chapter 7. Now, notice here in Hosea chapter 7, he deals in verse number 8. He talks about Ephraim. He hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is like, he said, it's a cake not turned. It's kind of like it's burned on one side. Then if you'll go down to verse number 10, the Bible said, and the pride of Israel testified to this his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek Him for all this. Verse 11. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt, in other words, and they go to Assyria. If you go down to verse 16, he says, they return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. In other words, you find a bow there that's damaged, it will not shoot straight. But the one that I'm looking at in particular is in verse number 7. Notice the Bible said there that it's like a silly dove without heart. In other words, it's like it has no affection for home. And then the Bible says in verse 14, the Bible said, and they have not cried unto me with their heart. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name tonight, Lord, I pray this afternoon, God, you'd help us. Lord, I thank you for the fellowship. I thank you for the good meal today, the lodging, the meal last night. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the people of God. Thank you for their faithfulness. Help us today, Lord, to be a blessing and incentive, Lord, to these. God, I pray that you'll give us safety as we travel home tonight, then tomorrow in meetings. God, that you'll bless it and help us, Lord, and use us to your glory. And we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bible and go to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 32, and we're going to begin here, but I really wanted to take, and I guess, Pastor, one of the things that I wanted to preach on this afternoon is really what took place to me personally about 9 years ago there in Washington, Georgia, at the memorial home of Edward McHenry Bounds. Bounds probably was one of the great prayer warriors that had a mind on the subject of how to pray, where to pray, when to pray, how to get a hold of the Almighty. You know, it's my desire. You know, when I got saved in 1973, then God called me to preach in 74. And then I went to Bible college there in 1975 under the late Dr. Albert B. Seidler, Dr. Albert B. Green. And, you know, I was kicked out of high school 5 times in the 12th grade. I was not your salutatorian or your valedictorian student. So anyway, they kicked me out 5 times in the 12th grade, and then I made straight F's and had 1 D- in the 12th grade. So I quit. 3 months to graduate, I blowed it, I quit, I give up, I'm out of here, I don't like it, I don't have nothing to do with school, so I quit. Well, after I got saved, I came back and got my GED. And had no problem passing it, and so I knew I had to have that if I was going to further my education. I was going to be an electronic engineer. And in time, I had 180 class hours. But then when God called me to preach, all that ended. It was over. I knew that. The vocation was gone. Forget it. This is the will of God. God's called me to preach. God called me to, in other words, I felt like God wanted me to pastor. And so I want to be the best pastor and prepare myself. And so, you know, I needed an older man of God in my life. I was saved under Brother Carl Barrett. And, of course, I was 18 when I got saved. And so he was the man of God preaching the day I got saved. And then, later on, probably maybe a less than a year, of course, my wife had got, we had met, I got her in church, she got saved, and so we got married. She got saved in 73, I got saved in 73, we got married in 74, God called me to preach in 74, so I was in Bible college in 75, and we had went over to Grace Baptist Church under Dr. Garland Oldham for a short time. It was on his ministry. Really, God really began to pattern my life for going to Tabernacle. And so I went to Tabernacle, and I graduated, you know, the 3 years, and then I thought, well, I wanted to have the fourth year, and so I got the fourth year, and then, but anyway, through all of that, and so I'm not against education, just get over it, you know, and get beyond it, amen. And so, but it come a time in my life that I wanted to take, and I told you this morning, I began to ask myself, are my prayers being answered? Do I really believe in what I'm praying about? All of us tonight, or today, this afternoon, we have so many petitions. Sometimes we pray and we don't even remember what we pray about. Sometimes we tell people we're going to pray for you, and then we never pray for them. We forget. And then they tell us, hey, appreciate you praying for us. And then you just, you know, with a blush, you are, I didn't pray for them. I forgot. And then sometimes, hey, I'm sorry, I forgot to pray for you. Well, amen, prayer works, amen. And so anyway, I've been there, I've done that, and so, but it was probably, like I said, 9 years ago that God really began to challenge me in my own life and what with God about prayer. And about really, are my prayers, do I really believe in what I'm praying? Do I really want God to answer what I'm praying? I have prayed out of hurt. I have prayed out of anger. I have prayed out of selfishness. Through pastoring 17 years and ministry in 47 years. And sometimes I'm glad that God has not answered what I was asking. I've asked Him to forgive me. Lord, I shouldn't have prayed that. I shouldn't have said that. You know, I want my prayers answered. And so tonight I want to give you five things in that category that God's really helped me. Because one of the things as a missionary, it's more than the finances. But I need your prayers. I need you to touch heaven. I need you to get a hold of God. That's what I need and my wife needs. We need to remember to pray. So when we come to Hosea 11 about the silly dove, the question that I would ask my own life, and really would challenge me, is that, you know, sometimes it's like when I say, okay, we're going to build 7 church buildings. Okay, where's the money coming from? I know that's $70,000. So in my mind, what I'm thinking is, well, maybe if I can get around a businessman, or maybe if I can find a wealthy church. In other words, it's like Ephraim. He said, you go to Egypt, you go to Syria instead of coming to me. Whom do we go to? Do we look to our employer more? Do we look to our salary? Do we look to our savings? Do we look to 401k? What do we look at in our finances? Do we look to God? Do we believe that God can take care of us? You remember when the Lord, I can show it to you in the Bible. And I tell you what, let me see. I'll show it to you quickly. What I'm thinking about it, if you'll go to, you remember when He sent out the 70, there in Matthew, but if you'll go to Luke chapter, I believe it's 22, 24. And go to chapter number 22, Luke 22. Quickly, I want you to see this in verse number 34. You remember when he sent them out and he told them to carry neither scrip, carry neither purse. In other words, don't carry any of this. And he said, I'll take care of you. But we find here later on in verse number 35, he said to them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked you anything? And what did they say? They said nothing. Do we really depend upon God? Do we really depend upon the Almighty? And so in my own life, that's when the Lord, like 9 years ago, began to really get a hold of my life in the area of five categories. And so I'm going to go with you quickly with these here. Number one, go with me to the book. Well, I go to Jeremiah, like I said, chapter 32, verse 17. These are some of the verses. One of the things I've tried to do is, I was reading the New Testament every 30 days. And then I began to back out a little bit because I was running through it so fast. And the triology of Scripture, or the application, I said Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1, James 1:25, all three verses meaning pretty much a lot of the same thing, that in other words, your delight, your desire, is the Word of God. You love the Word of God. You pray the Word of God. You believe the Word of God. You're saturating your mind with the Word of God. The question is that we would say is, this man shall be blessed of the Lord. Have we lost that desire for the Word of God? Are we in the Word of God? Oh, you know, I study the Word of God. But God really, it was George Mueller that read the Bible 200 times. 200 times. There was a text came to me this week of a lady's daughter. She said, Mama has went through the entire Bible in her age. She's like in her 70s. She's read the entire Bible now 61 times. I thought, wow. But I try to go through the Old Testament twice a year. And I try to go through the New Testament 6 times a year. I've cut it down because I wanted to slow down some because I felt like in my own life I was just going too fast, going so fast, and I didn't want to just read the Word of God, skim through it. I wanted to learn how to really pray through the Word of God. So we find that I'd ask you tonight is in Jeremiah 32:17, notice what it said, Ah, Lord God, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm. And the Bible said, and there's nothing too hard for Thee. But maybe in our mind tonight we say, well, God can't. God's not able. He can't do that. Maybe there's a prayer that God cannot answer. Maybe there's a person that God cannot save. Maybe there's a promise that God will not fulfill. Maybe there's a place that God will not revive. We wrote it off. Can't be done. He said, there's nothing too hard for me. Several times in Scripture you'll find that phrase, there's nothing too hard for me. With men this is impossible, but not with God, I think it's 4 times in the Bible. So, do we doubt the Almighty? Do we disbelieve the Almighty? Do we say, well, it can't be done? But he said there in Jeremiah 32:17, there's nothing too hard for me. Then go down to further that Scripture and you'll find in the Word of God, look at it, verse number 26, and then verse 27, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Now notice the pleading note. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for me? One of the things that abounds in his 600 unabridged edition, I went through it for 5 years, searching, pondering, how do these men, how did God move in that time, and why did He move, and how did He answer their prayers, and why? And here, is there anything too hard for me? And it was him Bounds that formulated, he said, to find verses in the Bible that relate to what you're praying about, and then petition the Almighty, and he would find reasons why God should answer his prayer. And sometimes George Mueller and his wife would pray 19 times a day for a need We sometimes pray one time and forget about it. And then look at Jeremiah 33:3. In my own personal life, I have in my study, I have 100 verses of Scripture on index cards that I use in my own prayer life. And what I've tried to do, preachers, learn how to pray the very Word of God. And when I have a burden, when I have a desire, when I know it's the will of God, and in 1 John chapter 3 there, and this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, I want to have the will of God in my prayer. I want to pray the mind of God. I want to pray the very will of God. And if I'm praying the will of God, it's a done deal. And so I want to get to that spiritual prayer in Acts 8:26. So Jeremiah 33:3 here is one of my verses I use on the PowerPoint you saw this morning. And the Bible said, call unto me. And then God said, I'll answer thee. But I love to pray. And here's the thing also, preacher, is that I always want to be, no matter what hour of the day it is or what day of the week it is, no matter where I'm at, when God leads me to pray, I want to be right with God, nothing to where I have grieved God, that I have to get right with Him before I can get a prayer through. I don't want to have any habitual sin. I want to have all, in other words, I want to be clean before God. I want to have that line between me and Him, that there's nothing that would hinder that relationship, and that I can get a prayer through. It's like, you remember Nehemiah? In Nehemiah there, he's before Artaxerxes. And Artaxerxes there, in other words, for what dost thou make thy request? And right under the breath of Nehemiah, he said, so I pray to the God of heaven. And that thanks, my friend, listen, God answered that prayer. He said, and Artaxerxes sent him. And then he gave him supplies, and then he gave him safety. And he came into the valley gate there in the book of Nehemiah. And so, you know, it don't take God hours and hours to answer. You know, I mean, we pray and God can answer that prayer immediately. So I know that about the Lord. And I know there's timing in the will of God. And I know that God is patient. God is in forbearance. God in long-suffering. God in His will. George Mueller, he recorded 50,000 answered prayers. But there were still prayers the Lord had not answered immediately. And so there's sometimes that God wants to work with us and in circumstances. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 9. I'll get there in a minute. I'm just kind of laying my foundation. Look at Matthew 9. Matthew chapter number 9. And then verse number 2, the Bible said they brought him a man sick of the palsy lying on the But notice the phrase here. This really got a hold of my life. The Bible said, and Jesus seeing their faith. Now what kind of faith does He see in our life? You ask yourself individually, collectively, what kind of faith does He see in my life? I really believe there's a lot of good people. There's a lot of good Christians that maybe have been hurt. And maybe they got their eyes on circumstances and difficulties. And we call this sometimes disrupted faith. They did have great faith and believe in faith and pray in faith. But yet things happened and they got discouraged. And sometimes people can have disrupted faith. I guess in my own life, I want to be able to have that dynamic faith. Dr. Lee Robertson's book, I've read that book on faith, believing God, and so many more that I went through of yesteryear. And so the Bible said, "In Jesus, seeing their faith and." And tonight as he looks down from you and I, and we ask the question, look in verse number 28, and when he was come into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus saith to him, believe you that I'm able to do this? Do we really believe that God is able to do this? What, you know, we think about this. I need $157,000 for the Nairobi project. Do I really believe that God can take care of that need? I need to build 22 church buildings. Do I really believe that God can supply that need? I want to ship number 10 container that's going to take 14,000. Do I really believe that God can meet that need? And then, last year in COVID, in my prayer journal, when I really found the mind of God, I put down the Bible College building. And I wrote it down, and I thought, this is going to be a challenge. Church buildings, man, hey, a lot of people get excited about it, but a Bible College building, that's kind of secondary, you know. And so anyway, I put it in there. I dated it. I really believe it to be the will of God. And then began to petition heaven. And in a month and a half, God sent in the funds. In a month and a half. I knew it was the Lord. I knew God did that. I couldn't do that. God did that. And so you know what helps me is in the recollection of answered prayers. You ever made a list sometime of what God has already wrought in your life? And you know, Pastor, honestly, I mean, I can see the demonstration of faith here in this beautiful building and debt free and what you've accomplished over here in the other rooms there in the hallway and everything has been accomplished here. I can see the operation, the demonstration, and how that you've had dynamic faith and petitioning God to work through His people and supplying the needs miraculously. Dr. Lamont, Bible Two Missionary Foundation, Shelbyville, Tennessee. He called his board members. And he said, I'm going to do something that is going to challenge our faith. And what's that going to be? Well, it's going to bankrupt us. We're not going to have any money left. And it's $30,000 a tractor trailer load of paper for printing. And I'm going out by faith and ordering five. And we don't have the money. Zero. It's going to bankrupt what we have, and we will not have the money to pay for when they get here. He's did that many times. But he believed it to be the will of God. And he stepped out on the impossibility. When Peter was in the boat, there in the gospel, and he said, bid me come unto thee. In other words, he's the only one that left the boat and let go of the rope of security or the ladder there and began to walk on the water to the Lord. Do you know, I've read where that verse changed D.L. Moody's life, C.H. Spurgeon's life, Charles Finney's life, because there was an asking to do the miraculous when it was an impossibility. You know, sometimes, you know, I'm not saying, in other words, foolishness or, you know, hey, you want to know it's the will of God and the mind of God, and this is God's will that I'm praying. I know it to be God's will. But there was an asking, bidding, let me come walk on the water. He's the only one that walked on the water. I know he got his eyes on other things. I understand that, began to sink. But he did walk on the water, glory to God. Boy, I love to read all these men of yesteryear, what God did in their life. And boy, I begin to think about that. I say, God, I want that. I want to see God work in my generation. I want to see the power of God. I want to see hundreds and thousands saved. I want to see churches started, buildings being built. God can do it in our generation. Believe ye that I'm able to do this. Sometime we get our eyes on the Washington. We get our eyes upon politics. We get our eyes upon other things instead of the Almighty. Come to me. Call upon me. Believe in me. Trust me. I believe you that I'm able to do this. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Hebrews here quickly. And the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6. You're familiar with it, but I just want to use it as one of my verses for tonight in Hebrews 11:6. I'll get over there in just a minute. Here we are. Notice the Bible said, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible, but without faith, it says it's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible. Now, I don't need faith for what I have. I need faith for what I don't have. And so right now, I need faith in the will of God to do these things that I have shown you. Since I think the last time that I was with you, the Lord allowed us to build 27 church buildings after. And then after that, we built 25 more. And so in essence, the Lord has enabled us to build 78 church buildings. And so, if I want to encourage or increase my faith, I like to look back at the miracles that God's wrought in my own life and ministry life, and though I go back and I look at, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God, notice now, must believe. Believe you that I'm able to do this. Paul said in the stormy rock to run. In other words, I believe. Sometimes, and as a pastor, one of the words we hear from others, we can't do that. That's impossible. You can't do that. It can't be done today. I'll be honest with you, I'm human. I mean, listen, hey, I'm no super Christian. I'm no dynamic, you know, speaker. I know where I come from. I know what I am. But my dependence is upon God. Believe, he said, in other words, without faith it's impossible. Please, he that cometh to God must believe. Three words. That He is. Do you think about that He is the Almighty? You have an opportunity, a door before you. In other words, your prayer life, your belief, your trust, and your, in other words, having the faith to believe the Almighty, and then, really, the challenge of my life has been learning to pray the Word of God. Because if I want to have greater faith, I want to have believing faith, what I'm doing is I'm saturating my mind with the Word of God. You know, and the book of Acts, I don't know how many times I read the book of Acts over and over and over and over and over and studied and studied and studied and studied and timelined and all of that and same thing in your other books of the Bible. And so the question that I ask, you know, is knowing, having, in other words, I want to have greater faith within. Faith will come by reading the Word of God. So if I want my faith to grow, You know what, preacher, you know, and I, you'll make the same statement. What these men of yesteryear had, it's almost like they were walking Bibles. They had lived in them Bibles. They had walked with God. They had lived on their knees and lived in that Bible. And you could tell it when they preached. And the Bible said that He is. And then I love the latter part of this. And He said, a rewarder. Boy, I want to see the fruit of my praying. I want to see the fruit of faith. I want to see what, in other words, I want to have the faith, the belief that God can do that impossibility that others say can't be done, that others say. Anthony, Dr. Echo told me, I never really dreamed, I never thought about it this way, that I'd ever hear this statement coming from one of our nationals in Africa. And he says, we are now the largest ministry in Africa. We have grown numerically. Church buildings. God's doing great things. But it all started with Dr. Runyon having a burden, having faith to step out and belief and trust and watch God and then God do it. Neither he nor I nor others can say, hey, look what man has done. You have to step back and look at, hey, God did this. God brought this about. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, the diligent seekers. Where are the intercessors today, preacher? When Samuel Allen died, I was at his funeral. Great man of God, prayer warrior. I had him for revival, and I remember there in North Carolina, and he was in the prophet's quarters, and I said, I'll pick you up at 12 o'clock noon. We'll go to lunch. I come to the door, knocked on the prophet's room. There come the other man who was driving him, and he was not ready. I said, why aren't you ready? I said, I'll pick you up at 12. He said, you only have one bathroom. I said, I know that. He said, he's been in there since 7 o'clock praying. 5 hours. And that's the man he was. He was a great intercessor. I've had all night prayer meetings. I have prayed an hour or more. But oh, today that we need those. It was like those of Charles Spurgeon. They said that were taken. Being the soul sellers or praying for him while it was a preaching getting the hold of God. It was Daniel Nash there with Charles Finney that Daniel Nash would go and rent a cellar and stay in that room and for weeks before Finney would come in for the revivals. He would pray day and night because he wanted his faith rewarded that God would do something in that meeting. For them that diligently seek me. I'm afraid sometimes we spend more time in front of the television. We spend more time on the cell phones. We spend more time on other things. Oh, listen, instead of beckoning heaven, believing the Almighty, my friend, listen, we need to get back to believing God and trusting God. But listen, number one is I want to have prayer and faith. I want to have the faith that believes God. Number two, take your Bible, turn to the book of Acts 27:25. And in Acts 27:25, there's a verse there that I did not see until I was going through it for many a years. And in Acts 27:25, I sometimes preach out of this chapter, but notice in Acts 27:25, it was after the storm of Euroclydon, is that Paul was en route to Rome. And notice your Bible says in verse number 21, and after a long abstinence. I don't know, we believe that Paul somewhere, because of the storm that was there, all hope was lost. They believe that others over Paul And so he got along with God. I didn't have a praying mama. The only prayer I ever heard my mother pray was a prayer of repentance. 34 days before she died. I did not have a praying daddy. My daddy died when I was 6 in a car wreck. My stepdaddy, as far as I know, I don't know. I hope he got saved. I pray he got saved. But I don't believe he got saved. And he died a drunkard's death. He committed suicide. But I never had a praying daddy. Whom do you go to? And you ask, I believe in your prayer life. I know you can get a hold of God. I know you have great faith. I know you have, in other words, I know because, well, I've listened to you. I've heard you pray. I've heard you get a hold of God. I want to be a prayer warrior. And Paul in the stormy rock Ladan, of course, God gave him a promise. This is what I want to show you. Look at it. Notice your Bible said there in verse number 24, and of course God gave him the promise, but look at it. He said in verse 24, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." Well, so there's a promise. God gave him a verse. God gave him a promise. And so, all the books I've studied of these great men of God of yesteryear that we've read about and many of us sat under them, they said, learn to find promises. Learn to pray the promises of the Word of God. And that's the one about the Joshua 1:8, James 1:25, Psalm 1, "This man shall be blessed in his deed." And so you find here the Word of God said, in other words, fear not, Paul. Fear not, Paul. That means, as Paul is, of course, human, he could have had seemingly fear. I've been frightful and a lot of things in life. And fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So he went back on the deck of the ship and notice the statement here, number 2. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God." Now, if I'm right, that. We always say the antecedent, that it shall be even as it was told me. So it's faith based on what God said in His promises. So I had to believe the Bible. I believe the Word of God. I pray the promises of God's Word. And so we find number 2, in other words, diligent seeker and a rewarder. And so, but then number 2, not only number 1, prayer and faith, but prayer and trust. Do I trust God with my future salvation? Well, sure I do. I know I'm saved by the grace of God. I know I have everlasting life. I believe the promises of the Word of God. But we can trust God with that, but do we trust God with our finances? When I left the pastor, and boy, I stepped out into missions. I left a full-time salary. I left the insurance. I left everything, walked out, had a family, and all my payments are still there. And boy, I was walking out on the impossibility. But God, I knew it was God's will. And that it shall be even as it was told me. So learn to pray based on the Word of God. And God, give me 100 verses in the Bible that I use. And I'll pray them sometimes for hours as I'm driving. I'll take it one by one and learn to pray the Word of God, believe the Word of God. So we find that, and then go to Psalms, I believe it's chapter 10. Psalms 10, I'm moving on real fast. Psalms 10. And this right here, to me, is your lifeline of petition in heaven. And in Psalm chapter number 10, verse number 17, "Lord, thou hast heard thee," and notice the word, "desire of the humble." Now, it's been said that where God leads you to pray, He means for you to receive. So when I'm praying the will of God, it's like in my prayer newsletter, I'll mention some things, line up some things numerically, and then I'm asking the Almighty. I have them in my prayer journal. I'm begging God. I'm believing God for them. I believe it's the will of God. And then through the year, I'm just watching God put it all together. I don't know whom, don't know where, but I know it's God's will. And so I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm not worried about it. I'm not frightful about it. But notice the Bible said, Lord, thou hast heard the desire. Though the humble, we always say the way up is down. I got over them degrees a long time ago. I'm not against them. Get all you can get over them. I got 3 doctorates and a PhD and all that, but hey, I got beyond all that stuff years ago. I want the power of God in my life. I want the unction of heaven. I want the anointing of God. I want the blessings of God. And the Bible said, in other words, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Desire. What is it that you desire in prayer? What is it really that is the lifeline, the motivating factor, the persuasiveness of God, the hand of the Lord pushing you? What are you praying about? What are you saying? What are you asking the Almighty? God, I want this. Begging you for this to happen. I believe it to be the will of God. What is it? Oh, my desire. That's heard my desire. But then look at the latter part of this verse here. And there is really, I love it. Notice the Bible says, thou wilt prepare their heart, thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. We say that God's in our stops as well as our steps. And sometimes what the Lord does in our stops, that God will bring us to a wall in stops. And we got to wait on the Lord. We got to petition heaven. We got to keep believing God. And God will grow our faith and mature our faith. But desire is going to be the lifeline of your prayer. In other words, how bad do you want it to happen? Go to Luke 11 now. In Luke 11, I mentioned the word this morning, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And in Luke 11, in verse 1, the disciples came to the Lord. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Well, there's a lot of things about the Lord in prayer. But look at verse 5. The Bible said, in which are you? Now, that you there shall have a friend. Now, we're going to make that friend, preacher, the Almighty, the Lord. In other words, He is my mighty friend. Abraham was called the friend of God. Moses is the friend of God. But which of you shall have a friend and you shall go to him at midnight? Are we not in a dark hour? And say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. And then there's a needy friend in the next verse, because a friend of mine. It's like I'm the praying friend. I'm going to my mighty friend. Because I have a needy friend, Africa, that in the midnight hour, they need help. And so I go to my mighty friend because I'm a praying friend. I say, now, Lord, I have a needy friend. It's coming to me. And then the Bible said in that verse, and I have nothing to set before Him. I don't have it. I can't build them churches. I can't build this church building and all of this over there in Africa. I can't do it. I don't have it. God knows. But I'm a praying friend. I'm going to my mighty friend because I got a needy friend. And look at the verse there in Scripture. Come on down there. Notice the Bible said, in verse number 8. But I say unto you, though he will not give him because he's his friend. I know the Lord. I know the Lord. He knows me. I know God. But not because I'm his friend, but he says here, because of his importunity. You see, prayer and importunity, prayer and desire, prayer and importunity, the importunity there is urgency. We call it, Pastor, like this right here. We knock at heaven's door and we run. The old timers called it travailing, not giving up, importunity, much asking. It's in Luke 18, the same application. And so we keep asking, we keep knocking, we keep seeking God, believing the Almighty, petitioning heaven. I have three lists of things that I'm asking God every morning, around early morning. Usually I'm up maybe, 6 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock, 6:30, somewhere along there, and I'm praying in my study. But I'm doing it with importunity. And so I'm the praying friend. I'm going to my mighty friend because I have a needy friend. And I'm going with Isaiah 56 or 60, 62, chapter 62, I believe it is, says, give him no rest, keep not silence. In other words, until you see heaven move. So importunity. God said, hey, that's what I'm asking you to do, is I want you to have that urgency. But then notice what the Lord will do there in that verse. The Bible said in verse number 8, but I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as what he needeth. Verse number 9 says, and I say unto you, you're that praying friend. You ask your mighty friend. You seek at the midnight hour. You knock with importunity. And so you find that in that verse. Go on over to Isaiah 59, I believe it's 59:1, and I'll be through here. Isaiah 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But then the Bible said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. I guess in my own life, and I know in your life, is to be right with the Lord, because prayer matters. Praying matters. And so prayer and, in other words, being in righteousness, being right with the Lord, not grieving God, smothering the works of the Lord, being right with God and right with fellow man, right with my wife, right with others, no habitual sin. Because prayers are at stake here. Really, Pastor, I've had more prayers answered since 9 years ago. It's been a rewarding time and event in my life. I'm glad God brought it to my life. I'm not where in other words, there's desire in my life that I want to grow stronger and more in belief and trust in God. But this is what the Lord, it happened to me. Really, God did a work in my life and helped me. Because I studied so many of those others that really had the ear of God. And I wanted to have that relationship with the Lord that I can ask Him for anything. And so today, what is it that you're asking God for? you believe in God for. You want to see God do. I didn't give up on my mother for 41 years. That was importunity. That's really a good definition of not quitting. Urgency. I wouldn't take no for an answer. God saved my mother. God answered this request. I didn't know when it was going to happen, where it was going to happen, but it happened. You say, how do you know? We don't believe in that deathbed salvation. Mama never come out of that bed. But I'll tell you what happened. The burden that God put on me 41 years ago, as soon as Mama called out on Him for salvation, God took that burden off of me. I carried it for 41 years. And God gave me the peace. Just took it off. What is it today that, Bob, there's things that I want God to do. I want to see God happen. See it happen. I don't know God can, only one can do it. I got a lot of tender things, family things, financial things. I'm begging in heaven for. But I really believe today, preacher, in my generation, I really see among a lot of, and listen, hey, I'm not your judge. You critique your own self. But we got to get back to praying and believing God and touching heaven. Where are the praying mamas? Where are the praying daddies? Where's the brokenness like we used to have? Have the altars been stained with the tears? Where are the weeping Jeremiahs? God help us. And preacher, you come. I'll turn it over to you now.
All right, let's stand.